empty room, a voiceless crew at the edge of the moon, the empty room, nothing is in it,
it's the fucking empty room podcast. How about that?
Yes, it is.
How about that?
I like it.
We're here to talk about stuff. We're going to do it right now. We start off with the sports. Eric, you ready to dance?
I'm ready
with
the
sports. Let's start off with something fun, and then we'll go into something interesting.
And then something not so fun.
And then something that's kind of weird and stupid. And then we'll end with something that's cool.
Alrighty.
Fun. Red Sox and Indians recently. The Red Sox are still in first place, and they're doing their best to not make me pissed off lately, which is good.
Yes, because they're doing it all for you.
John Farrell's still kind of a dopey manager that makes poor decisions. As long as David Price isn't playing and Dustin Pedroia isn't playing, I almost sort of like this team again. But
what's wrong with Dustin Pedroia?
He's
a little horse.
He's
a little Petey.
He needs to retire. He needs to get traded. He needs to get out of town because he's just a little bitch.
Well, no, that's
and
not
I've had enough.
That's not really a reason to...
I've had enough of his crap.
Oh, you just don't like him.
I've had enough of him.
I mean,
he should go play for the Orioles so he can hold hands with Manny Machado and not support his real teammates. So, yeah, I'm just okay. I'm done.
Oh, you're done? Are you done?
But they got chippy last night, the Indians and the Red Sox. And here's what I want to talk about this for, Eric.
Okay.
Eduardo Nunez, our current second baseman, who I like way better, and we got in a trade. He was thrown out last night by the pitcher for the Indians. His name is Kluber.
Oh, Corey Kluber.
Kluber threw at him because the pitch before that, he felt that Nunez swung too hard with the bat. Now, what the hell is that? Can you explain that to me?
No, I can't really explain that because that's stupid.
Kluber threw an off-speed pitch that was dying like a quail.
Dying like a quail?
And Nunez...
How do quails die? I'd like to hear that.
Nunez tried to crank it out of the park. I mean, he really took a swing, and he had to go to one knee. That's how hard he swung at this pitch. And he missed it. It was a strike.
So Kluber should be happy.
So Kluber threw at him in the next pitch and hit him in the hip. What an asshole. Now, are we that sensitive now in baseball that if someone just sort of does something that might be offensive to you, that's how we're gonna throw at them and maybe cause a fight? I didn't get to see the brawl between the Detroit Tigers and the Yankees the other night either, but maybe everyone's just chippy because of the eclipse.
Everyone seems to be on edge. Everyone seems to be offended by something. I don't know how you're offended by getting what you want.
A strike and a big time strike.
So stupid.
You swung too hard. Take my pitch.
You swung too hard. Me.
Oh my goodness. I couldn't believe it. So I was like, that's interesting, but kind of
stupid.
Lame.
LeMay.
Moving on, the Patriots are 0-2 in the preseason. They're playing the Detroit Lions tonight. Eric, should we be worried that they're 0-2?
No. Not even a little bit.
Well, they lost their top rookie, Rivers, to a tendon snap. He is done. He is gonzo.
Gonzo!
And they're having some trouble keeping their linebackers on the field, so there is some questions there. Tom Brady is expected to play a full half of football tonight, I would think.
Well, yeah, he usually does. Actually, third game?
This is the third game. They're 0-2.
Thanks.
Did I mention they're 0-2?
Yes, I believe you did mention that. I wouldn't be surprised if he's playing at least three quarters.
Well, I suspect at least a half, maybe more. But if they lose this one, and then they lose their final, should we be worried about 0-4 in the preseason? And then how cool would it be if they go on 0-4 in the preseason and then 19-0 in the regular season? Now, does that mean it's actually 19-4?
No, it means it's 19-0. Don't be an ass.
Because I'm ready to say right now, look, perfect season's already over. 0-2.
By that logic, we didn't really go undefeated in the regular season in 07, did we?
I thought they did. I thought they won all their preseason games that year, too. I could be wrong. I have to look that up, but I thought that's what happened. So this is a failure. This team's a failure now.
This team's an absolute abject failure.
It's gonna,
because they're 0-2 in the preseason when they don't give a shit.
It's gonna have to come down to Tom Brady to save this failure of a team. Tom Brady is going to have to.
You're such a jerk.
Lift them up by their bootstraps, strap on their helmets and
strap-ons.
No, just their helmets and get this job done.
They could have strap-ons on
because this is not acceptable. This is not the Patriot way.
This is not acceptable behavior.
0-2. Get that shit out of here.
Get that shit out of here.
Back,
son of a bitch.
Back to baseball. Do you remember Rich Hill, Eric?
I do.
He now plays with the Dodgers.
Oh, shit.
And this poor son of a bitch.
This poor schmuck.
Who I actually like Rich Hill. He seems like a very nice guy.
Agreed.
Was about to leave baseball, got a resurgence, and now playing well. But the other night, he lost a perfect game.
That's too bad.
In the ninth inning on an error.
That's rough.
And then he lost his no-hitter in the 10th in a walk-off home run.
That's rough.
So, poor Rich Hill.
Hey, this is baseball, man. These things happen.
Okay, at least he wasn't like that other pitcher who lost his no-hitter because the umpire made an incredibly bad call at first base. Remember that guy?
Yeah, but at least the umpire admitted to it and apologized.
He was sobbing. I mean, he was so upset with himself.
Felt bad for that guy.
Why couldn't there just been a moment where you just change the freaking call? Like, I never understood that part. I made the call. I took that thing away from that kid. I remember him saying it. I'm like, well, why didn't you just stop and rethink it and just say, I was wrong. Made a mistake.
Because I don't think he knew he was wrong until after the game was over.
Oh, really?
I think so, and he saw the film.
So poor Rich Hill, heck of an outing. I mean, you throw 10 innings of non-hittable stuff, except for that final one. It's a bummer, man.
It is a bummer, man. You'll get him again, Rich Hill.
Tomorrow, Eric, is Mayweather versus McGregor. The boxing match that I think could be the dumbest thing on the planet right now.
Probably. But it's, entertainment.
I think you nailed it. It's entertainment. It's not a real boxing match. There's a lot of people that are going to shell out $100 to see this go down. I think McGregor's going to get beat pretty quickly.
I think it's actually going to go a long time, a really long time, because Mayweather doesn't like to fight. Mayweather dances.
I don't know. I mean, he might. It's a good point. I don't know. He doesn't. I mean,
he won all of his fights by dancing around.
Yeah. He hits him a couple of times, and then he doesn't get hit again.
He hits him enough to get up on the scorecards.
But is this going to be scored like that? Is this going to be scored like a boxing match?
Well, it's supposed to be a boxing match, so yeah.
I just really hope it turns into a Mr. T, Roddy Piper.
Oh, no. I think that's exactly what's going to happen. I think it's going to come down to, like, it's going to be the 10th, 11th round. McGregor's going to be way down on points because he can't hit him, and he takes maybe a couple of shots from Mayweather, and he's just be like, fuck it. And then, he comes around and does a backspinning heel kick right to the bridge of Mayweather's nose.
I think Mayweather then sues him. I mean,
I don't think McGregor cares.
Yeah, so I mean, I think that's the reason to watch, is that McGregor seems to be a real loose cannon.
He's going
to
blow
and
up.
And you don't know what the heck is going to happen.
He's just going to charge him, take him down, and start beating the living hell out of him, which will be all I'm hoping for. He's like, I want Mayweather to get his
face. It'd be the first time that Mayweather gets touched. Well, that's not true. There have been a couple of fighters that have touched him, but, Mayweather's a dirtbag. I mean, he's a wife beater, and he's kind of a piece of a shit. But McGregor's no choir boy either.
Yeah, McGregor's just a mouth.
So, who knows? But I will not be watching. I'm not going to spend $100 to watch this. I think it's a
neither joke. Am I.
I mean, I might spend money to see Canelo Alvarez and Gennady Golovkin go at it. That's a real fight. That could be really cool. But this one, I'm out. Are you ready for stupidity?
I'm always ready for stupidity.
Yeah, but kind of a lame, this is really stupid stupidity. ESPN.
ESPN, how I hope you're gone in the next 3 years.
Man, so stupid. I hate that channel so much. They've gone so downhill now that they're sort of like a political channel.
They're a leftist mouthpiece.
It's stupid. But anywho, they should just be sports. But anywho, they removed Robert Lee, an announcer for a football game, because they...
Was it a football or basketball game?
It was football.
Okay.
Because they felt that it might be too offensive to have someone
who happens to have the same name
as Robert E. Lee.
As Robert E. Lee. And if you Virginia. Look at them side by side, uncanny. Just uncanny.
One guy's white, one guy's Asian. One guy's dead, one guy's very much alive. So I don't know.
Separated by 200 years.
I don't know what
that's probably not true.
What ESPN's thinking there, but that is, I mean, that's the creme de la creme of stupidity. And they had a chance to be like, dude, we made a mistake. But no, they doubled down.
They doubled down. It's like,
President was like, we felt it was right. We didn't want to hurt the snowflakes. He didn't say that, but that's sort of what's happening.
Well, yeah, it's a,
and it's
read between
it's,
the lines.
It's pretty sad. Pretty stupid.
Yeah. ESPN needs to go. They're really stupid.
Yeah, I was dumb. I was dumb.
Yeah, it's just that incredibly stupid.
And lastly, Eric, the something cool. Remember we talked about how the Boston Celtics had done very little. They've sort of made a draft pick. And, you know, you said triumphantly, he's going to suck. And which by far was my favorite part of the podcast 2 episodes ago. But now they've made the move that we all thought they were going to make sometime earlier. They have traded Isaiah Thomas for Kyrie Irving. Kyrie, the flat earther, mind you. Irving will now be the best player for the Boston Celtics, proving once again that Kyrie got an excellent education at Duke University, and it should be worth noting that...
We need to have a little conversation.
It should be worth noting that...
Folks...
The Celtics can now not go play overseas, because we do not know...
Because they will fall off the edge. Folks, we need to have a little conversation. And Kyrie, I would like you to think.
Kyrie's a hell of a player. I mean, he's a top level, five player in the, league.
No one's taking that away from him.
I mean,
no,
a lot of people have LeBron, Durant, Stephon Curry, and then Kyrie's right there. So
no one's taking that away from him. I'm not taking that away from him, certainly. However, we need to have a little conversation.
Look, when you make a ton of money and you're one of the best in the world at your craft, maybe... Even if it's a flat world, like, you should still be able to just take your money and do your job. Like,
no, you need to not give him a pass for this.
He's my new favorite player.
Of course, he's your new favorite player.
And you know what? I'm breaking news right now. I think the world's flat too. Yep. I think the world's flat. If you go past China, you're going down into the abyss, and that'll be the end.
You are the absolute definition of a follower.
That'll be the end of the whole business, and Kyrie Irving's right.
All
right,
it's time for a little conversation. Apparently, you're included in this now. The world is not flat.
Says you.
This is basic science.
Wait a minute. Do you play basketball at a high level? Do you play basketball at a high level? No, you don't, do you?
That has nothing to do with anything.
Kyrie Irving.
And I bet I could school Kyrie one-on-one, son. What? But I could school him.
In a fight or something? Not in basketball.
No, basketball.
No.
I would school him, son.
You would definitely be at school. I don't know who got schooled where. But look, if you can't play basketball at the highest level like he can, you can't tell me that the earth is not flat. I'm sorry. Just,
I can absolutely tell you that. We have pictures.
I'm sure Bill Nye's on board with that, too.
Of course Bill Nye's on board with that. Bill Nye, who a scant 12 years ago, or whatever, how many long ago, made an episode of his stupid little show that gender was based on DNA, but only 12 years later, nope, it's a spectrum.
Well, people evolve. Look, anyway, at the
evolve.
End of, at the end of,
bullshit. It is completely, is the way the wind is blowing, and it's the only way I'll have a career and be resurgent in that career is to follow the leader, which is leftist snowflake.
All right, bring it back.
It's, gender is a spectrum.
This is the sports part.
The world is flat.
Where are the sports?
The world is flat and surrounded by 12 feet of ice.
You gotta bring
it. It surrounds the flat earth, and it's just like, no!
Look, don't you want to know what happens after you fall off the ocean past China? The abyss? I mean, this is a whole new exploration.
We don't do that!
This is a whole new exploration we could have. We could just go down there and we can drop the ropes for as, and the rope only goes so far because there's only so much rope. And we'll be swinging at the end in the darkness, trying to figure out what we're going to do. Someone will light a flare. They'll drop it. It'll keep going.
It'll keep going.
Becoming a weird-ass star for here to ever. But, yeah, look. Kyrie Irving's a hell of a basketball player. This is a great trade. It gave away Isaiah Thomas, who's good, but
he wasn't very well liked.
He wanted, I don't buy that, but he did want max money, and Danny Ainge didn't want to give it to him, so Danny said, all right, you got to go ask LeBron, and maybe LeBron will give him max money. I don't know. And they gave away a couple other players, and their first-round Brooklyn draft pick that was very highly sought after, but at the end of the day, Kyrie's a top, like I said, a top 10 player. So you make
him top 5 player. Is he top 5 or top 10? There's a major difference between the two.
I think he's a 6.
Really?
All right. All right. Well,
I was amazed by the actual, like, specificness. I think he's a 6. Really? Really?
Well, I forgot about what's his name in New Orleans. He's really damn good, too. Westbrook. So, anywho, that's the sports. And like I said, some good stuff, some bad stuff, and a lot of swearing from us. For the Pope Watch, Eric.
I cannot believe,
Pope,
that you think the world is flat.
Maybe the Pope thinks the world is flat.
I really hope not.
So anywho, it is the Pope Watch, and first thing we're going to start off with doesn't really have a lot to do with the Pope, but I think it's interesting.
Why is it in the Pope Watch?
Because this is sort of a religious feed as well. And, you know, with the religious feed, we do want to talk about the fact that a Pennsylvania couple having their third child, in a sonogram, saw a picture of Jesus looking at their baby. Isn't that wonderful?
Sure. Depending on the look he was giving the child, was it like a...
No, he was giving that really nice, you know, Jesus in control, you know, I'm going to take care of you type look.
Didn't have like a dagger really going...
No. He looked great. And I have the photo. Maybe I'll put it on the Empty Room podcast.
He looks fantastic.
He did look good, and the baby looked good, too. And the thing that made it most interesting was that the two previous children that they had some special defects, and this one came out perfect. So the Jesus is looking after.
Don't call him Jesus.
All right. I'm sorry, Jesus. The Jesus is looking after. And no
one particular child.
And no one fucks with the Jesus.
No one fucks with the Jesus.
I think we're safe to say that. Secondly, the Pope has tweeted this. The Lord is close to victims of old and new forms of slavery. I don't know if that's a solace to the people that are enslaved. Look, you're enslaved. But don't worry, the Lord is with you. This still sucks.
This still sucks.
I want out. Make something happen for me.
This doesn't make it any better.
I'm
still a slave.
I don't want to do this anymore, and if he's with me, can you please help? Look.
If he's here, could he get the keys to my chains?
Look, at the end of the day, I understand what he's trying to say here. He's saying, look, even though you're in this dark time, know that the Lord is with you, and you can pray, and you know that you're loved, that type of thing. I get it, but there is that feeling like, dude, that's great and all, but maybe you should get these dudes and ladies and whatever out of the chains they're in.
And I feel compelled to say this.
Uh-oh. Compelled. I love that word.
This is really for the people who actually are enslaved, not people who just think they are. Just laying that out there. Gonna leave it alone.
Oh. Oh. Yes. Physically enslaved versus mentally stupid.
Yes.
Understood. Yes. So at the end of the day, back to my point, I understand where he's coming from and I get what he's trying to say. However, maybe those people who are actually enslaved might want a little bit more than just knowing that it's okay.
They probably want something like freedom. Just putting it out there.
Just putting it out there. We'll tiptoe to the next topic.
We will silently move on, respectfully move on to the next topic.
Pope says rights of migrants trump national concerns.
No, they don't.
I got a little bit of a problem with that, Mr. Pope.
No, they don't.
Like, I get it and I don't. Now, here's the thing. If there are migrants that have been chased out of countries because of ISIS and what they're going to do to you, your spouse, your children, and you're a decent person, yes, I want to help you. Because what has happened over there is really ghastly. And, like, yeah, I get it.
I get it.
However.
How's ever.
There's a boatload of the migrants who are just giant douchebags that want to come.
A lot of them. Like, a lot.
That just want to come to European and the Americans' countries and just fuck everything up.
Cause tons of trouble.
And I got a problem with that. Now,
rape. A lot of rape. Like,
rape is bad. We've established that 2 episodes ago.
Like, just a ton of it. It's unbelievable.
I mean, they destroy...
How could you rape that much?
Stop it. Stop.
Unbelievable amount of rape.
We are not making light of rape. Rape is a horrible, horrible thing, Eric. And, you know, it's...
I'm not making light of it, but...
What the
fuck? What the fuck? It's a lot of rape. Just a ton.
So,
a metric ton of rape.
So, yeah, I mean, this migrant crisis is on the verge of destroying Sweden. It's made London and England in a lot of world of trouble,
Germany's
too.
Just a
Germany's
train wreck.
Germany's turned into a basket case. And, yes.
Good job, Merkel.
If we could actually get the people that really need to be saved, those victims, they're more than welcome. We want to help. But it's the others. I mean, there's got to be a way to do both. Wouldn't you think, Eric?
Just a lot of rape. Just a lot of it. And I don't think that we need that kind of shit in our country.
Well, I don't think it... Rape shouldn't be acceptable in any country.
No, it shouldn't. No.
So, I mean...
But it's just a lot. Just
all right. Well, you've made it clear.
I don't think people understand.
No, you hammered it home. I mean, it's...
Well, no, because, you know...
Points well taken. There's a nail mark on my head right now. You're just pounding away.
I'm going to beat this dead horse until it's no longer a horse.
So, at the end, we got to make sure that we help the right people. And
but who are the right people?
Oh, well, you know what I mean. I mean...
No, I was acting like a snowflake.
I mean...
Although the question is kind of valid.
It is. I don't know how you do it. I really don't. It's because it's a gigantic mess. What really needs to happen...
How about you make their country safe and they can go home to it?
That's the key. What really needs to happen is we got to send in some...
Send in the clowns.
Some real...
M16s and grenades.
Real mean SOBs to come clean out this ISIS problem. In fact, it's happening right now. You know, Fallujah was just won back from those ISIS pieces of shit. And they're starting to push back. Everyone's starting to push back. It's just, as per usual, it's taken way too long to have a response to these pieces of garbage. And
next, guys, Iran. We're coming for you, fuckers.
Well, ISIS first. Okay. We'll figure out what we're doing next after that, I would suspect.
That's fair. That's fair.
Lastly, and this will be the most linguistically difficult thing I'll have to do today.
And you're really bad at linguistic stuff.
Yeah, my mouth doesn't work so well anymore. I don't know what's happened. I mean, I'm just sort of... maybe I do some more exercises. Like,
red leather, yellow leather.
Red leather, yellow leather.
Rubber baby buggy bumpers.
Rubber baby buggy popus?
No, it's the Pope.
There.
Jackass.
So, the Pope said... And I'm going to really try to quote this well, but I got a feeling I'm going to screw it up.
Okay.
Magisterial authority that liturgically reform is irreversible.
What?
You're going to make me say it again?
No, I want you to tell me what it means, because I have no idea what he's talking about.
So what's happened is that there were, in the early 1900s, the current pope at that time and his flock made some rules that were expected to be followed. So apparently before then... When you were, and this is just an example, and if I'm off by a little bit, forgive me.
Get the fuck over it.
But apparently one of the rules was that when you preached, You didn't preach facing.
Oh yeah, that's
the people.
That's an old school Catholic thing. Yeah, you had your back to the congregation.
Well, that got changed in the 1900s.
Sure.
There's been sort of a small upheaval of trying to go back to those times.
Well, there's a certain sect of Catholicism that never really changed. Like I've heard that Mel Gibson is part of like an older sect of Catholicism where
does he whip himself in the back?
I don't know. You have to ask him.
Is he secretly an albino?
An albino? Oh, you're going with the book.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
but supposedly he was part of one of those churches where the priest didn't face the congregation.
Oh, yeah. So anyway, the Pope came out and said, due to his magisterial authority, the liturgic reform is irreversible. And I guess the
Okay, so he's not...
Liturgical. The rules that were designed in 1900s are irreversible because the Pope's got power. That's what it comes down to.
Okay.
So
I'm okay with that.
Are we good with that?
I'm okay with it.
I always think, though, that you want to have absolutes not in the equation.
Well, I think he's talking about, like, just, you know, stuff like...
Yeah, but things can always change. For good and for bad.
Sure.
But I don't think you want to say it's irreversible. That's an absolute... And maybe...
Well, it's irreversible for as long as he's Pope. I mean, the next Pope would say, fuck it.
Oh.
Well, maybe not fuck it, but like...
What do you say?
Forget about it.
How would the Pope say that in Latin?
Forget about it.
No, the other one. So, anywho, that's our Pope Watch for today. Tune in next time where we hear the Pope say... Entertainment time. This is where we dance the hula in a skirt.
I already have my skirt on.
Made from dreams.
Oh.
Of movies.
You were talking metaphorically.
I was.
Hold on, let me get my pants on.
All right, get, jeez, put your pants back on, for heaven's sake. Okay, where do we begin? Well, let's start here because we talked about it last week. Forbes has said that we have a new top actor moneymaker. I was right, it was The Rock. The Rock was the top moneymaker for the most recent period.
Okay.
And now it's Marky Mark. Question. What the serious fuck?
The Transformers films.
Yeah, but why are these... You know, you tend to think the better actor would make the more money. You know, because it was funny. You jumped in and said Harrison Ford. And Harrison Ford's a very good actor. And, you know, Star Wars is a lifelong phenomenon. And... You were surprised when The Rock, whose most recent outing as a lifeguard in the resurgence of Baywatch as a movie, and also a tough driving guy in Fast and Furious, but he's actually making more money than one Harrison Ford. What does Harrison Ford think about that, by the way?
I don't really give a shit. I just want to fly my planes. Get off my plane.
It's hard to care when I make a shit ton of money anyway.
No, I don't know. Sometimes I crash my plane.
And then I can't forget or can't remember. What am I talking about?
I don't know what's really going on right now.
Chewie!
I have an earring, but, you know.
All right. That's enough of that. But yes, Marky Mark. Now, the question is, will he filter out those profits to the Funky Bunch? I don't know.
No, of course not. No, the only reason Marky Mark is the highest paid actor is because, not for any sort of talent, which he has some, but not a lot.
It's a Transformer.
It's exactly the Transformers movies. No one wants to do those flaming piles of crap. So they had to dump a shit ton of money on Marky Mark's doorstep.
Michael Bay, baby.
Michael Bay.
It's all about the fucking money.
Mr. Bay, please stop.
He signs his checks with his nuts.
All right. So anything I say is really just going to fall on deaf ears.
So, yeah, pretty much. I mean, he doesn't care. He's already working on the sequel to the sequel to the sequel to the sequel to the sequel of the Transformers, which will make some more money. Because he loves to destroy our childhood, Eric. Get over it. Tried to explain this to you many episodes before, and you still just don't listen.
Well, you see, all right. I have not seen any of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle movies, so I don't know if they're good or not. So I'm not willing to say that he's destroyed that particular part of my childhood, but Transformers movies, yes.
He defecated on them.
Yes, he just dropped trow and squeezed out just the worst smelling pile.
And they did it over and over again.
Yeah, just over and over again. Just the worst pile of shit.
Ugh.
Smelled like Indian food. Used diaper.
The only guy who benefited from that was the voice of Optimus Prime.
Yeah, guy's become a legend. And not in a good way.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's not his fault. He's doing his gig. He's made a lot of money doing it, though.
That's true.
And
Shia LaBeouf.
Shia, who's in an insane asylum. He's terrible.
Oh, he's awful.
So moving on, have you ever heard of the Alamo Draft House?
I have.
What do you know about them?
I know it's a movie theater where you can have food and alcohol, and it's kind of like a family atmosphere, only for drunkards.
And they made news a while back when they had the only women showing for Wonder Woman.
Oh, okay, whatever.
Yeah, and well, some people got annoyed, and I didn't. Whatever. They can have women's night. They can have ladies' night.
Bars have ladies' night all the time.
Whatever. So they have gone one step further, and they are having a viewing, an early viewing, I believe. I could be wrong, but early viewing of Stephen King's It, only for clowns.
I think it's kind of fucking cool.
I think it's a scary fucked up situation.
That's awesome. Do you get to, like, all right, is it just for people who actually are clowns? Who are clowns for a living? Or can you dress up as a clown and just get in?
I'm thinking you probably do both. I'm thinking it's probably a little bit of column A, a little bit of column B.
Well, then it's not just for clowns then, is it?
But they, if you're not a clown, you're not getting in.
Okay. All right. If you're not dressed as a clown, you're not getting in.
But I thought, I have to recheck the story, but I really thought they were trying to get people who were clowns for a living, too. I mean, I can't imagine there's that many of them, though.
Well, you never know.
Yeah, but I mean, there's all of Congress. <Ba-dum-dum-ding>. But yeah, so what do you think of that?
I think it's cool. I like it.
Do you think it's going to fuck them up?
No.
Do you think that it's going to be like maybe something sinister where they're playing this movie, and because they're all clowns, it's going to get them right here in the eyes?
No, I think.
And then they're going to turn into murderous fuckheads that kill everybody.
No, I think it's more likely that it's going to be a gremlin situation, where they're getting all the clowns in one place, and they're going to explode the theater.
And Michael Bay with his grenade launcher. Boom. And then signing another check with his nuts.
Yes.
So that was interesting. We did have an eclipse. A legendary eclipse.
Eclipse of the Hood.
I actually like the Damn Bands version of that a little bit better.
Sure.
But check that out. That's a deep cut there. Go find that. You'll love it. You'll thank me later.
But no one will thank you.
But the eclipse, which is only happens every once in a while, and I guess the next one's happening in 2024. So it's because initially I remember I was sitting in my office. Man, I should probably look at the eclipse. It's probably
I slept right through it.
Probably not going to be another one in my lifetime. And then they're like, yeah, 2024. I was like, I'll be alive. No need to look at it.
Hope you'll be alive.
I'll catch the next one. Anywho.
Anywho's.
Have you heard of this rapper named Joey Badass?
No.
The last two S's are dollar signs. You know, one of those guys.
Oh, so he needs to kill himself.
He bragged on Twitter. He said, look, man, back in the day, there weren't any special goggles, and they were looking at the sun. I'm going to look at the eclipse, too. I can do it. I just looked at the eclipse. Nothing happened. Well, the next day, he canceled the rest of his tour. Because massive eye damage for Joey Badass. So good luck on seeing again, you ass.
You moron.
Just because you want to be cool doesn't mean information isn't helpful. So
put on some sunglasses, you dink.
Not cool. Not cool. You hear about this step forward in the Joker standalone movie? They're going to have a Joker standalone movie. And there was talks about who was going to continue to be the Joker, and it might be our buddy Jared Leto.
I thought they were moving on without Leto.
Well, it was up in the air when I wrote this down. Has it changed?
I think they're trying to do something. I think the standalone is going to be without Leto. And I think they're trying to do a Joker Harley Quinn movie with Leto and what's her face.
Okay, so that's what's going on. I gotta confess, I didn't like Leto's Joker. I wasn't a fan.
I'm not a fan of Leto, so.
No, I didn't like his portrayal of the Joker. I didn't like that movie, Suicide Squad. I thought it was pretty lame. And I'm hoping they find the next Heath Ledger because, damn, he was the best Joker I've ever seen. The man could joke.
He didn't really tell jokes all that much.
Oh, that one's great, though.
Everyone loves that one. Yeah.
Well, there's a couple others, too, that were pretty good. And lastly, in the entertainment news.
Oh, thank God.
I didn't know this. This was brand new information to me.
Oh, brand new, huh?
But it turns out that the original Terminator movies were actually going to have O.J. Simpson be the Terminator.
Oh, I knew that.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
That was brand new to me.
Yeah. I'm glad they went a different way. Although, if O.J. Simpson had been the Terminator, Sarah Connor would have been fucking dead. Just absolute head cut clean off. There wouldn't have been another sequel.
They're sitting at Skynet, and the computer goes,
"Holy shit,
T-800, how did you get her?" "I had her over for dinner.
And I cut her face
and
off.
And I just cut her in half." And it was...
Skynet's like overwatching in the future. They're like, "Holy shit. Damn, dude. Just shoot her. We just want you to shoot her." "No, you cleaved her clean in half."
Or they're watching going, "That was that easy? We did this like 70 times. We couldn't get it right. It was that easy? Ask her over for dinner? Are you kidding me? Oh my gosh." You know, that's what happened when, what's his name, took over Skynet. Once Doctor Who became Skynet, then it got smarter and did the right thing. So that is entertainment news. I don't know if we did any better. The news that makes us want to contemplate why we're here on this flat earth.
Round earth.
Flat.
Round.
Kyrie Irving round. Said it was flat.
I don't give a shit what Kyrie Irving says. He's a hell of a baller. I don't care.
Number six on the list.
Whatever.
Yeah,
the earth is round. It's a globe. And it revolves around the sun, not the other way around.
Agree to disagree.
We are no longer related.
Yeah, that's true.
I condemn you as a stupid moron, and I no longer consider you family.
Good point. Good point. Let's move on. So there's this massive array in China. It is the largest array in the world, I believe, actually. Uh-huh. And it's used to try to probe deeper into space to find alien life. And if they send anything back, record it. Get the signals. Problem is that it's become sort of a tourist trap. So tourists are coming from all over, but especially Chinese tourists, apparently. And they're causing so much noise that no one can hear whether there are any alien signals coming or not. So we're sort of defeating the purpose of this massive array in China. The best part was, in my opinion, is that it was in a very non-known locale, but somehow it got leaked out and it became a tourist trap. Eric, what do you think about this? Question number one, what do you think? And then question number two, does this stop us from when the aliens take over? Because we don't know when they're coming.
Well, it certainly puts us at a disadvantage since we can't hear when they're coming. Like, you know, they're
even, or them trying to talk to us and warn us. They're trying to talk to us.
Like, listen, we're coming to fuck you up. And we're giving you this warning, even though it's not going to make a bit of a difference.
I'm thinking of the movie Pixels. You know, like, here, we're going to tell you that we're challenging you to a duel. And if you win, we're buddies. If you lose, we're blowing your planet up. But instead, we can't get that signal because mom, pop, and baby are standing in front of the array taking selfies going, "Wow, wouldn't it be great to dance on that thing?"
It's like the entire country of Japan with, like, constant picture taking.
Yeah, it's just a bad idea.
Yeah, it's terrible.
A bad idea. So this is a bad thing.
Yeah, maybe you shouldn't leak out your secret location.
Yeah, that was the one thing in the article it didn't say, at least the one that I read, is how the location got known. But boy, is it known! And it's not, it's really hard to move an array of that size somewhere else. It's like a giant plate.
Yeah.
And you can see it from space. Maybe that's what happened. Maybe everyone went on Google Earth and was like, what the fuck is that?
What the hell is that thing?
There's a road leading out to it. Let's go there.
So, oh, we're supposed to see if aliens talk to you? Let's make a lot of noise so they can, so we can't hear it. That makes sense.
So that's what's going on in China right now.
Yeah.
Going back to Alabama.
In Alabama,
in the United States.
There's another Alabama?
Female gym teacher. She was 31 years old. Still alive, but now going to prison. Mm-hmm. She was banging kids from her high school in the local cemetery.
Well, at least she found a quiet place.
Now, the cemetery, though?
Just as good as anywhere else.
I mean, would you... I suppose... I guess most people avoid the cemetery life, but what was more disturbing to me was that she was married, and her husband worked at the same school, and he was arrested for having sex with a female student. So those people are fucked up.
Well, you know, they do things as a couple.
Well,
they have similar interests.
Look.
That's why they became a couple in the first place.
Look, leave the kids alone. Leave the kids alone. We have laws that say that 18 is an adult. Don't touch them. If they're under 18, and quite frankly, if you're a teacher, you can't bang anybody in school, full stop. But this is happening all the time. So much so that Barstool is ranking teacher sex abuse scandals because there's so many of them. Just stop it. Teachers, knock it off. You're there to teach. Hopefully not propaganda that's going to make our kids stupid.
No, it's definitely propaganda that's going to make our kids stupid.
I know. I don't want that. But I don't want them getting f***ed the other way either.
Hey, you know what? So, if it's a choice between...
No.
One or
no,
the other...
Don't say this. Please don't... please don't say what you're going to say. Just no. 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 Both are bad.
If I had to make a choice...
No. One's worse than the other. And the one you're thinking of is not it. It's like, physically leave them alone. Mentally do that too.
But jeez. If I had to make a choice...
No. Moving on. So, the president of the United States...
Who also looked at the sun without the eclipse without glass.
Yeah, but he just peeked. He just totally yeah, like, I'm not doing that. He has a council on fitness, and he just tapped Lou Ferrigno to
not
be...
Not Arnold Schwarzenegger?
No, he went with Lou. He went with the Incredible Hulk, which is why we're going to play the sad Hulk music at the end.
You probably should have made this the last story.
No, I got a couple more. So
that makes you, you know, just bad at your job.
Well, actually, I only got one more, and it's my favorite.
Oh, fair. So, yeah, that's fair. Yeah. That's fair.
So Lou Ferrigno... who was the Incredible Hulk on the original series.
Actually still is, I think.
Really?
He does the... At least for the Ed Norton one, at least he did the voice of the Hulk.
Oh, I didn't know that. Could you serenade us with only Hulk music?
No.
No? Okay. Do-do-do-do.
Stop it.
Do-do-do-do.
I will throw shit at you.
All right. This is a good choice for the president.
I agree.
I asked, is this a good choice for the president?
Okay,
you agree.
We can cut that part.
Oh, no. Oh, baby, that's in there forever.
It's quite simple. I thought you said, I think this is a good choice for
do, 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 do.
Fuck you. You know what? I'm turning my mic off. I'm done. Fuck do, you do, and fuck do, all the people that listen to this.
Do. All right. So.
I'm kidding.
Do you think it's a good choice?
Yeah.
I agree.
All right, let's move the fuck on then.
The last story is my favorite story because very rarely nowadays at my age do I see something that makes me laugh out loud for a long time. Because you get to be in your 40s and you've seen a lot of stuff and you recognize that there's certain patterns of humor. And you kind of, oh, okay. I mean, obviously, you try, and you're always searching to recreate those laughter fits that you had. Like for me, when I first saw Blazing Saddles, when I first saw Young Einstein, when I first saw...
Young Einstein? You think you mean Young Frankenstein?
Young Frankenstein, sorry.
Young Einstein? No.
Well, I mean, Yahoo Serious was kind of cool.
No.
But, you know, or the first time you saw Spaceballs, oddly enough, all my big ones are Mel Brooks movies. Yeah. But they're, you know, those moments.
Brain Donors
is another good one too. Absolutely,
non-Mel Brooks films.
Yeah, there you go.
Just get one in there.
So, to find something that makes me laugh so hard that I want to watch it over and over again. I found it this week when they had the problems in Arizona because the president was speaking and and Antifa showed up. Antifa showed up and these anti-fascists who are actually fascists start battling the police for no good reason. And one Antifa thug with a gas mask on.
Wasn't even like, you know, in the all black with the hood. He was like, you know.
Well, he had the shirt on. I mean, the shirt was telling, but he had jeans on.
Well, no, he had shorts on.
Oh, shorts.
Stupid shorts on. He like, looked like he just found a handkerchief. Like,
he had a gas mask on.
Well, right. He had a gas mask on. Yeah. But he's like, you know, this rotund, like, I'm going to go kick this tear gas can.
So one of the tear gas cans, because that's how they had to get him out of there, because, of course, Antifa protests really peacefully. And so
it's actually exactly the opposite. They do not protest peacefully.
So he walks, they fire a can over, and he, being the badass that he is, or wants to be, goes over there and kicks it back at the police.
And kicks it like, you know... The kind of kick you would expect from a first grader.
He doesn't get a hold of it. I mean, let's just put it that way. He tries. He doesn't get a hold of it, but it does go back at the police. And then he pivots back and he starts looking. So
he's like, you know, going backwards.
He's looking
back.
He's
like, yeah.
He's looking pretty cool.
Looking pretty satisfied with himself.
And then the next firing of the next canister by the police hits him right in the dick. And he goes down like a sack.
He takes right in the nuts. Just like,
The thing hits him. Smoke goes everywhere. He collapses like in a two-fold. Like, boom, boom, boom. And then he's just like rolling on the... He's just riding on the ground.
Oh, that was hilarious.
Oh, man. And then some dude tries to help him up, and he gets
some dude,
up.
Some dude tries to help him up. And I just think it's really funny that the guy's wearing a Kaepernick jersey.
Oh, my gosh. He's
like, trying to help this guy out.
He took it right to the junk.
Right in the junk. I love it.
And it's the way he fell. I've been trying to get a hold of that video to put it on the Empty Room podcast, but I can't rip it from anybody right now. I just, no one's letting it go. It's like it's prized meat. But my God. And then on one of the things, they had that video, and then they had Whitney Houston's I Will Always Love You in the background. Said, Oh my gosh. I watched that thing like 20 times. You need to protest peacefully. And I'm finally, I'm happy that finally we're starting to fight back against these assholes that are causing violence everywhere. I don't care if you're right wing or left wing. If you're causing violence and you're protesting, you're a problem. You're a problem. And if that means that we got to start tear gassing people in the dick, so be it.
Was it a tear gas can or was it a...
It was a tear gas can. Whole thing.
Because I had read that it was a pepper spray pellet.
Yeah, since it wasn't. It was a... Because as soon as it hits him, it's smoke.
Oh! Oh!
One can only imagine the sound he made in his tear gas mask. Somewhere today, he's got a lot of ice on his.
He put a video out
from
the hospital with, like, you know, taking a video of an ice pack on his genitals. And, you know, he's doing the whole, like, you know, Nazi.
Oh,
Nazi,
yeah, of course, because he wasn't in the wrong.
Only it was, like, you know, probably an octave higher. Nazi! Nazi!
Oh, gosh! Make it stop! Oh, why? How dare they? Oh, my God. People are stupid. Well, that's the news, man, because I got nothing after that. That's as perfect as we can do it. Woo!
I think that gentleman deserves sad Hulk music.
Do 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 do. Do 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 do. Do 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 do. Do 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 do. Thank you. It's time for the final section of the Empty Room Podcast, where we ask the question. The question is brought to you today by me, because as I was going through creating this episode, one thing sort of jumped out at me that I saw on Twitter, and I'm going to ask you, Eric, and I know this is not your favorite subject, but you're going to chime in. In a week or so, starts the 21st series of South Park.
Okay.
And Comedy Central, rightfully so, is playing every single South Park episode that they ever had and lead up to that moment where this episode, you know, series 21 starts. My question to you, and we've talked about this a little bit outside of the podcast, but I believe South Park, Trey Parker and Matt Stone, are the greatest satirists of our time. Number one, what do you think about that? And number two, is satire dead in today's PC climate world?
I'll start with part two first. No, because Trey Parker, and not in large part because of Trey Parker and Matt Stone, they have been keeping satire alive.
Nobody does it better, right?
Nobody does it better. Yeah. So that is all. In answer to your first part of your question, I absolutely agree that as satirists, they are the best in our generation. Like they are the epitome of satirists in modern times.
They're Swift. They're Gulliver's Travels. They're the guys that, you know, and what's interesting to me is that they've done it on so many different platforms, if you actually think about it. South Park, obviously, is their main baby where they get to say what they want. But talk about the movies. You know, South Park, the movie was amazing. Talk about Team America. Fuck yeah. Mm-hmm. Talk about Broadway. Book of Mormon. Mm-hmm. Talk about video gaming. The South Park games, mm-hmm. which are amazing. And all of them are satire about how we live our lives and how the human condition is. The fact that they do not leave any sacred cows. Nobody's
off limits.
Yeah. It's all funny or none of it is. Yeah. I mean, I've been impressed by them from the get-go. It was interesting. Well, a little bit background. When they first came out, I wasn't interested. In fact, I was kind of like, you don't make cartoons dirty. But then I saw South Park the movie and I fell in love. And I own every series. Like, every season I'm in. And these last three seasons where they've done sort of these arcs about political correctness and whatnot, I mean, they've nailed it. They've hit the nail right on the head.
Yeah, and they're kind of the one of the only reasons that satire still exists as a form of dissent against topics that have taken,
And can you explain...
Or modes of thought that have taken priority in...
Can you explain what satire is?
Yeah, well, it's pretty much taking... It's pretty much showing a mirror at a way of thinking or, you know, a topic, a belief or so on. Putting a mirror in front of it and say, look how ridiculous some of your shit is.
And I agree with your assessment that South Park has kept satire alive. But I can argue that it's blossoming right now. There's a lot of satire that's quite good.
Well, I think... We had a time before we really noticed how ridiculous the PC culture, and we had a warning. I mean, we had PCU with Jeremy Piven.
That was a great flick.
It was a great flick, yeah. And everyone just, you know, oh, it was a great comedy. But you know, we live in that world now.
Yeah, and everyone sort of once the band came up, everyone forgot about the whole premise of the movie.
Yeah.
You know, it was like the key ending of that movie when you had P-Funk doing his thing, it sort of negated and everyone forgot that world that they described. And you're right, we live in that world now.
Yeah. That was our little warning. And we just, you know, we laughed it off. But now since then, we've had South Park constantly like, all right, this is ridiculous. This is ridiculous. This is ridiculous. Not necessarily bad, but there's some ridiculous aspects in all these things. And I think now that we have finally realized that this PC culture and everything is offensive way of thinking is so stupid and so ridiculous and so in and of itself offensive that satire is coming back in a big bad way. And I think South Park had a lot to do with keeping that undercurrent. Like, it's, you know, it didn't dry up completely and now it's coming back in a big way.
I remember them, I want to say season 4 or 5 or maybe even 6, I could be wrong, but they did a thing on tolerance, and it was amazing. It was amazing because, you know, Mr. Garrison figured out he wanted to be fired. So he decided he would be over-the-top gay, like flamboyantly gay, to the point where it was aggressive. And they all just kept saying, no, we're tolerant. So how strong he is. Look how wonderful he is. We're tolerant people. And even at the end, Mr. Garrison's going, just because you're tolerant doesn't mean you accept things that are absolutely wrong. It's just a minor example. There's a whole bunch of them in South Park in general. But it's just really, you're right. It kept the undercurrent going. And right now we have shows like Black Mirror. That's a great satire. It's dark. It's crazy. But it's a great look at the mirror, for lack of a better word, of how we interact with technology and how fucked up it is and how crazy it is. And there's other satires out there. I'm trying to remember right now. You could probably help me a little bit.
Well, it's given true rise to political satirists, more political pundits going in that satirical. Like, not only is satire itself blossoming again, it's also kind of helping those who are speaking out, not in a satirical way, but just speaking out against this ridiculousness of this virtue signaling, leftist sort of PC culture. So that's why you have people like Ben Shapiro and Milo Yiannopoulos and so on gaining these massive followings because they're speaking out against this stuff. And I don't think it would have nearly that much impact if South Park hadn't been around to keep it kind of going.
Just to hop on that, I think you're right. However, what makes South Park better than those people you just named off is that there is, like, obviously those people you just named off are conservative people. Like the Shapiro, Yiannopoulos, they're conservatives and they have one direct focus, and that's stopping left wing stuff.
Yeah, but I'm talking about, like, you know, since like the last few years, we've really gotten to be, and I think South Park, with its satirical bent, and like you said, the last few seasons have been about,
because that's what's been the most, you know, the most prevalent thing. But the South Park guys, what makes them great is that there is no political side to them. Like, they don't choose one or the other.
I understand that. And that's truly what makes them pure satirists. But since the overwhelming topic of the day or of this time is over political correctness and over victimhood culture and taking offense to everything, and since that is what we're dealing with in this country, since that is what South Park is kind of focusing on, it has helped kind of get these primarily conservative speakers a way to gain access to a larger audience that they probably wouldn't have had without South Park.
And they're tracking the absurdity also of the other sides as well.
Sure, you know? Sure. And there's certainly enough of that to go around. I'm just talking about, like, in my view, there is far more craziness on the left than there is on the right at this moment.
Right. And it's always, the other thing too is that it's always satisfying when the people who have the most power, who are kind of virtue signaling what they think is right, just to shine the light on them and let them know that.
Yeah, you know, it's like, oh, you know, look at me. I think this is wrong. So I'm a good person.
Yeah, right. I mean, you're seeing that a lot with entertainers. Entertainers are being dragged across the mat. Same with sports figures. We did a segment on it last episode where, you know, LeBron and some of these other guys right wing guys
I felt bad for the most was Chris Pratt, who said something he just spoke his mind. And the leftists gave him hell for it. And because he's one of the biggest stars going right now, he has to apologize and appease those people or he's not going to have a career.
Yeah.
And I just feel so bad for the guy. He's like, you should be able to speak.
And he's a good guy, too. He's a good man. He's a real good guy. Going through a tough time right now because he's getting divorced.
Yeah, that sucks. Really sucks. He's a good man. He's always been one that I really liked. And I hope things get better for him in his personal life. I'm hoping that this unfortunate divorce doesn't hurt him too much. I just wish him and Ms. Ferris
all. Yeah, I mean, it sounds like it was just a mutual thing I needed to stop. But
yeah,
bring him back around. I'd love to see a Lifetime Achievement Award from Matt and Trey of some sort. I don't think they'll ever get it because they piss off everybody.
I think people will get it.
But I would love to see what their speeches would be like.
Oh, yeah. They're still, I think we're a long way from that, not just because, you know, they pissed off everybody, but because they're still going.
Oh, they're not going to stop.
They're not going to stop.
Yeah, their gig is pretty awesome. They get to say and do. In fact, quite frankly, maybe that's the last question that we need to ask is, are they the last two people on the planet that can say and do whatever the hell they want?
I think
besides kings and
no,
you know.
No, I think that's the one thing where I'll disagree.
They can't do whatever they want, but they can say whatever they want.
I think anyone can say whatever they want. They just have to be unafraid of the consequences.
Mm.
And they are absolutely not afraid of any sort of consequences.
And they've been threatened before. Oh, they've been threatened. They've been boycotted. They've had this. They've had that. So, yeah. I mean,
they might be individually afraid at times, but in terms of their commitment and their ethics, they are unafraid of consequences.
Can they go on the wall?
Yeah. Oh, so absolutely.
The wall of admiration.
The wall of admiration, which we have not tended to for quite some time, with Kevin James on there for some reason.
We love Kevin James, that's why.
We like Kevin James, but he doesn't really need to be on the wall of admiration.
We chose together that Kevin James would be on.
No, you chose, and I was like, eh, fine.
Oh, my goodness. Bring back the tape. Bring back the tape. Let's re-listen to that.
What has he done that's admirable, other than his work, which has been subpar?
We always felt that he was a nice guy. That was the other thing, too. We felt he was a good man. He, you know, you just don't like him because he's hanging out with Adam Sandler and making crap work. They took a man that could have been really good at his craft and just made him into a sidekick to Happy Gilmore.
This is for admiration, and I don't know what's admirable right now about Kevin James. I'm happy to have him on there. Just tell me what's admirable about him.
He's going to run you over with his segue. Holy shit, you're done, dude. You're done!
Done!
I'll give you this. Matt and Trey are far more deserving on the wall of admiration than
Kevin James. So we're in agreement. Kevin James comes off the wall.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, you heard it here.
And Trey and Matt go up on the wall.
We've never had that happen before. A wall of admiration rescinded.
Rescinded.
Oh.
Until further notice. Until gracious. Until new information is gathered.
Holy smokes. Well, you heard it here, folks. Big happenings in the Wall of Admiration for the Empty Room podcast. We're adding...
Kevin James is gone!
Trey Parker and Matt Stone, and we're losing Kevin James. You heard it here first.
And they are up on the wall next to...
the referee.
The gay referee.
Who was awesome.
Who was absolutely awesome. And did we put there's a woman up there, too. I can't remember what she did, though.
I'd have to look at the Wall of Admiration.
Have you ever updated the Wall of Admiration?
I won't get to it when I get to it.
You're going to have to listen to all the episodes to find out who's on the Wall of Admiration.
There isn't that many.
There's actually four now because of Trey Parker. Because Trey Parker and Matt Stone get their own.
Oh, get their own. It can't be together. It's got to be.
They get their own plaques. Yeah. So we have four now. I think there's Trey, Matt, this referee, and I think there's a lady.
It was the postal worker who saved Christmas.
That's right. So the postal worker that saved Christmas.
Yeah.
And yes,
she ran into a burning truck, a UPS truck.
To get out the...
To save all the Amazon Christmas presents.
Yes, that woman is up on the wall of admiration.
More deserving of than Kevin James.
More deserving than Kevin James.
Save Christmas.
And I think, well, you know... Maybe this is a conversation to be had to another time, but another person that deserves to be in the Wall of Admiration, Harrison Ford.
What?
He has notably saved people from forest fires by flying them out of the forest.
He's also noticeably put people at danger when he flies in front of flights and causes crashes.
He hasn't caused any crashes.
He's caused some crashes. He's been falling.
He hasn't caused any crashes. He's crashed himself.
We're not going into this. That,
I think you're wrong. Get off my plane.
So that's the Empty Room Podcast.
Be on the Wall of Admiration.
That's the Empty Room Podcast. I don't know what episode it is, but check us out.
I once wielded a lightsaber.
The Empty Room Podcast.
I prefer a blaster.
I prefer a blaster.
Check us out.
I really like Chewie's blaster.
Oh, fucking kid. This is Empty Room Podcast. You can check us out at EmptyRoomPodcast.com. We're on Instagram. We're on Facebook. We're on God knows what. But check us out. Contact us. Talk to us. And
please talk to us. I only have this asshole to talk to. And it sucks so bad.